If you're joining us online for our midweek meeting, welcome. Pray that God will bless you and enrich you. Our own prayer time as a church will follow this study this evening at 8:15. We are no further on in our knowledge of when this lockdown will end. But please continue to pray for us as an oversight as we seek to navigate our way out of this current lockdown. Number of measures, I guess, will need to be put in place that will comply as best as possible with social distancing measures. We certainly want to be wise and sensitive to the needs and concerns of others while striving to be biblical in our response. We certainly want to be worshiping together as soon as possible as a body of believers. We miss each other. We miss one another's fellowship. And so we will continue to seek God's face as we consider our own position as a church in the current situation. But tonight, in fact, over the next couple of weeks, regardless of whether we're back again here in the chapel or not, I want to stick around Jerusalem for another few weeks in the book of Nehemiah. So firstly tonight, I want to read from Jeremiah chapter 6. We'll read from verse 16 through to verse 19. And then we'll pray, just commit ourselves to the Lord, and then we'll turn to Nehemiah chapter 3 and read the first six verses. So let us hear the word of God, first of all, as it's found in Jeremiah's prophecy, Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 16. This is the word of the living God. Thus saith the Lord, stand in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where the good way is, and walk in it. Then you will find rest for your souls. And they said, we will not walk in it. Also I sent watchmen over you, saying, listen to the trump, to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not listen. Therefore hear, you nations, and know, O congregation, what is among them. Hear, O earth, behold, I will certainly bring calamity on this people, the fruits of their thoughts, because they have not heeded my words, nor my law, but rejected it. Amen. So reads the word of God. My friends, let us come and commit our meeting to God in prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we have been blessed by the enlightening ministry of your spirits as we have come to your word week by week. We thank you that we have your word in our own mother tongue, and we thank you that your spirit has opened our understanding to grasp the glories of the gospel. And by him we understand that your moral law is holy and righteous, and it is good. It's a manifestation of your holy nature. As such, it is perfect and unchanging. And Lord, we ask that you would put a love for your law within our hearts, because it's an expression of yourself. Yet we readily confess that we have sinned, and therefore the law, and we know that the law cannot save us. It condemns us, justly so. So we thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, and we thank you for his finished work on the cross. And we ask, Lord, that as we come into your presence tonight, that you would help us to just glean some truths from this little book of Nehemiah. We pray, Lord, that you would help us to focus on Christ, focus on his word, focus on his work. We are thankful for the opportunity to meet in this capacity, albeit not as we would like. You know, we would love to be here at the chapel, worshiping together, fellowshipping together, but being able to meet online, somewhat second best, but we thank you for it. We thank you that we can fellowship in a small way in this particular manner. So, Lord, bless us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, friends, let us turn to Nehemiah chapter 3. We'll read down to the first six verses. And again, this is the word of the living God. Then Eliashib the high priest rose up with his brethren, the priests, and built the sheep gate. They consecrated it and hung its doors. They built as far as the tower of the 100 and consecrated it then as far as the tower of Hananel. Next to Eliashib, the men of Jericho built, and next to them Sechar, the son of Imri, built. Also the sons of Hasaniah built the fish gate. They laid its beams and hung its doors with its bolts and bars. Next to them, Merimoth, the son of Urijah, the son of Koz, made repairs. Next to them, Meshullam, the son of Berechiah, the son of Meshezabel, made repairs. Next to them, Zadok, the son of Bana, made repairs. Next to them, the Tekoites made repairs, but their nobles did not put their shoulders to the work of the Lord. Moreover, Jehoiada, the son of Paseah, and Meshullam, the son of Besodiah, repaired the old gate. They laid its beams and hung its doors with its bolts and bars. Amen. And so reads God's most precious word. If you remember last week, friends, we noted that cooperation is one of the most important aspects of Christian service in the work of the local church. It was because the people cooperated, they accomplished the rebuilding of the walls of Jerusalem in just 52 days. What was the basis of their cooperation? Well, if you remember, there were five common experiences. Firstly, a common deliverance. Secondly, a common death. Thirdly, common desire. Fourthly, common doctrine. Fifthly, common destiny. And as I say, just for the next few weeks, I want to just hang around Jerusalem and look at these gates around the city, because these gates represent different aspects of the Christian life. And we need to pay heed to all these areas depicted for us in these gates to be well-balanced Christians and, by implication, faithful in service. In chapter 3, verse 1, we read about the sheep gate. Chapter 3, verse 3, the fish gate. Chapter 3, verse 6, the old gate. Verse 13, the folly gate and refuge gate. Verse 15, the fountain gate. Verse 26, the water gate. Verse 28, the horse gate. Verse 29, the east gate. And verse 31, the Mifkid gate. And verse 32, we find ourselves back at the sheep gate. So we've traveled counterclockwise around Jerusalem. And get the picture. As we travel around, the wall is lying in ruins. The gates are broken. There is rubble everywhere. It is an absolute mess. And I wonder if there was a temptation to rebuild the wall differently than it was originally. Was there the temptation to say, this particular gate at this point in the wall isn't so important, so let's block it up. No need to rebuild that particular gate. Let's modernize the wall somewhat and let us widen this a little bit and do this, that, and the other. Now, obviously, what I'm saying, friends, is just conjecture. But it might not be that far from the truth, because there is always, always, always that temptation to rebuild the wall differently than it was originally. It's the temptation of modern-day Christianity. When they begin to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem, so to speak, when they begin to build the walls of Zion, the temptation is to say, this particular gate isn't important, or let's modernize this particular gate. Now, friends, Nehemiah's desire was that the wall be rebuilt exactly as it was before. He was to restore it to its original condition. The walls of Jerusalem were built by David the king, and you and I don't have any right to rebuild the walls of the city the way we want them to be rebuilt. This is God's word that we study week by week. This is God's church that we are part of. It is his gates and his walls, so to speak. Zion, the household of faith. And we have to build exactly like the word of God says we are to build. That's what's wrong with so much of modern Christianity. It rebuilds the walls according to its own fashions and fads and desires and whims to try and fit into its own lifestyle. And so you have flexi churches, you have cafe churches, and all sorts of other churches. But God says that these gates are needed. They are important in the Christian life. So the people are rebuilding the gates around the city. And the first one mentioned is the sheep gate. The sheep gate speaks of three different things. Firstly, it speaks of the priority of the gospel. This was the gate through which the sheep came that were to be used in the sacrifice of the temple. And these gates were, this gate was built by the priests. We were looking at some of those priests on Sunday morning and the consequences of bringing before God strange fire, profane fire, a mode of worship that God had not commanded. And so these priests know the seriousness of the task before them. And say the sheep gate was a place where the sheep were brought through when they were going to be used in temple sacrifice. This gate was probably nearest then to the temple, and it really is the most important gate, because if you don't enter by this gate, then you have no relationship with God. You see, friends, the sheep and the sacrifices spoke of the blood. So the picture is this, friends. None can enter the city. None can enter the household of faith, Zion City. None can enter the city except through blood. That's the picture, beloved. The New Testament parallel is obvious, isn't it? Nobody will ever enter the New Jerusalem except through the blood of the Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ. So what we are talking about here in this first instance is the importance of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the priority of preaching the word of God, demanding that men be born again by trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ, being covered in the blood of the Lamb, having their sins washed away, cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. Unlike the other gates, there were no bars or locks on the sheep gate. And again, we have a significant picture here. The door of salvation is always open in this day of grace. This gate was never shut. It was always available. The door is always open. And any who come through the door of the Lord Jesus Christ will find an open door. They will not find the way barred. Come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Come to God through the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the way, He is the truth, He is the life. That door is never barred. But in the second instance, this gate pictures praise and worship. That was the purpose of the temple, wasn't it? Once you had gone through that sacrifice and pictured your sins being cleansed, then you were brought into the temple and a place of worship and praise. And so it portrays the repair of a broken relationship, doesn't it? This gate, it portrays a drawing nigh onto God. And if there is an area within the church which is in need of urgent repair, surely it is in this area of worship. So much of what passes as worship today is man-centered. It comes under what I was saying in the introduction about, you know, flexi churches and cafe churches. You know, friends, let's build this part of the wall and let's build it faithfully. And so many today are saying, let's modernize. You know, let's turn, as we were saying on Sunday, let's turn the worship into a mini Glastonbury. But friends, this wall must be built God's way. And we must worship God in spirit and in truth. But in the third instance, we come back again to this matter of prayer and the urgency of prayer. Within the temple was the altar of incense, and incense pictures prayer. How do you get to that place of prayer? Remember, the access is by the blood. You come through the door, through that place of sacrifice. Prayer is vital. How many folks need to be prayed for? We need to be praying people. Praying for our church, praying for one another, praying for our nation, praying for missionaries. The unsaved need prayer. When Paul mentions the Christian armor, he ends by saying, "I'm praying always with all prayer and supplication." Friends, without prayer, we are lost. Without prayer, we are spiritually dead. How important to build and maintain the sheep gate. It pictures the door of salvation. It pictures God-centered worship. It pictures prayer. And when we come to pray, you know, let us unite our voices as we call upon our living God, who will bend his ear to listen to our cries and our supplications. Well, friends, after the sheep gate, we come to the fish gate. The disciples of our Lord were fishermen, and there were many fishermen in the land of Israel, as we know. It's one of the major occupations. This gate was set up so that those who brought their fish could bring them to the market around the inside of the wall and sell them. Now, we're applying this in a spiritual sense. So, to balance this situation out, once you've been brought into a right relationship with God, once you have been brought through the sheep gate, so to speak, you're brought into that right relationship with God, your sins are forgiven, etc., then you need to seek others out. You need to seek that others be brought into a right relationship with God also. This gate is the gate of witnessing. It's the gate of the gospel. It's the gate of gospel mission. This is the gate of the Great Commission of going into all the world, preaching the gospel to every creature. What did Jesus say? "I will make you my disciples." He says, "I will make you fishers of men." So go and preach, go and proclaim the gospel. Go and proclaim that message of repentance and faith. Repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Beloved, when we proclaim the gospel, We must ensure that it's biblically based. We can't come to this gate and say, let's make it more appealing. Let's make it less offensive. You know, let's not be mentioning hell, and let's downplay sin and manifest or exalt more the love of God and just concentrate on that, you know, and you get an imbalanced picture of God then, don't you? You know, the approach of much of modern Christianity, modern evangelicalism, is, to have everything fun-based. You know, let's have people rolling in the aisles. Let's make them feel good about themselves. Let's tell people just come to Jesus and they'll get saved and everything will be rosy after that. And what I'm saying is that there's no mention of sin. There's no mention of repentance. There's no mention of dying to self. There's no mention of taking up a cross. There's no mention of holiness of life. And friends, you know, much of what is being presented today is not the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's a perversion of the gospel. We tell people that they are sinners, that they are alienated from God. We tell them that if they die in their sins, they're going to a Christless hell for all eternity. We tell people that when they get sick of their sin, like the prodigal son, then they'll come to their senses. And they will seek God's face. And God will draw them to the cross of Christ. They'll seek forgiveness and change of life. We preach the unsearchable riches of Christ to a lost and dying world. And friends, this message, this gospel message, is of no use at all unless it's preached to others. So we must be bold in our proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. A fisherman can catch fish and put them in boxes and leave them in boxes. And he hasn't helped anybody. He hasn't fed anybody. And so we have been saved by grace alone and faith alone and Christ alone. We have been commanded not only to believe ourselves, but to encourage others to be saved. To encourage others to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. The balanced Christian is not only one who has believed the gospel, come through that sheep gate, but is now preaching the message to others, a fisher of men, through the fish gate, constantly praying, constantly inviting, constantly witnessing to the grace of God in Christ. To be a balanced Christian, you must be building the fish gate and inviting others to the Lord Jesus Christ. Next, we come to the old gate in verse 6. And if any gate could be argued is in need of modernizing, in need of updating, surely it's this old gate. The oldest gate in the oldest part of the city. Now, how do we apply this? Well, I read from Jeremiah 6 earlier, from verse 16, where God is saying, stand in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths where the good way is, and walk in it. Then you will find rest for your souls. And they said, we will not walk in it. Also God says, I set watchmen over you, saying, listen to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not listen. We find that Jeremiah is preaching to a people who will not walk in the old ways. They have created a newfangled religion. It's a religion of idolatry, a religion of comfort. Cost them nothing. You know, they were serving these idols, just bowing down to lumps of stone. They didn't need to make any sacrifices. They had created fashion gods of their own making. And God, speaking through Jeremiah, says, ask for the old paths where the good way is and walk in it. Now, beloved, we need to come to God and say, Lord, help us to go back to the old ways. Help us to go back to the old paths, back to the old-fashioned gospel and old-fashioned kind of Christian living. This gate reminds us to stick to the old-fashioned message of salvation by repentance. This message reminds us to stick to preaching the word of God. So many churches resemble the world. There is little distinction between the two, whether in worship or living. So we need to restore the old-fashioned gate of our morals. It is the desire of the flesh to want to be like the world, as closest to the world as possible. But the Bible says, keep yourself unspotted from the world. The Bible still says, be not conformed to the world. The Bible still says, friendship with the world is enmity with Almighty God. You know, there are some areas of our morality in which we need to go back to the old paths. We need to go back to the old standards. When we compromise in this area of living, the sinner looking on doesn't see any difference, any distinction. They don't see why they have a need to repent, because, you know, the lifestyle of those Christians is no different from the lifestyle that I'm living. You see, beloved, we need to return to the old paths. We need to return to the old-fashioned practice of fleeing from the appearance of evil. You know, friends, there was a time when people shunned sin. They hated sin. They avoided places of sin. They didn't want to have anything to do with sin because they didn't want to ruin their testimony. They didn't want to risk bringing reproach on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what did they do? They practiced separation. They practiced separation from even the appearance of sin. You know, friends, you don't have the right. You don't have the right to watch whatever you want to watch. You don't have the right to read whatever you want to read. Remember, your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost. You don't have the right to dress whatever way you want to dress. You need to be conscious, particularly young girls in this age in which we live, when nothing is left to the imagination. It's not that there's little left to the imagination. Nothing is left to the imagination. And, you know, you need to be sensitive and dress appropriately. And so we need to go back to these old paths. Building some gates here this evening. You know, the sheep gate, having that right relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. The fish gate, having a desire, a burning desire to see others saved. And this old gate. This old gate. How we need to remind ourselves that we are not to change with the whims and fashions and fads of the world, but to remain true to the Lord Jesus Christ, his precious word, and his precious standards. Father, we thank you for the privilege of being able to consider these three gates this evening, and just trying to bring out some spiritual application for our profit, for our spiritual good, for our growth in grace and in our knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Pray, Lord, that you would make us a holy people, a sanctified people, a peculiar people, people marked by our walk as different from those around us. And we pray, Lord, that you would help us to think upon these things, reflect upon them, and put them into practice in our lives. Hear us, we pray, in Jesus' blessed name. Amen.